Welcome to Comically Exposed. This is episode 21, and you're excited about it. I'm excited about it because my name is Gabby, and I almost ran over the intro. Okay, fabulous co-host, what's your name?
My name is Heather Nye.
This is the podcast where we talk about comedy and OCD and how they overlap, which is why we have a fan favorite. I mean, mostly just favorite across the board. Stand-up comedian, musician, songstress, playwright, one-woman powerhouse, leader of a gang, and a librarian.
And amazing.
And amazing. And honestly, one of the most hilarious improvisers that I've ever worked with. And that's over Zoom, which is really effing saying something. So, Ege, back to the program. Yes.
Hello. Yay. Thank you for having me back. I am only one of those things you listed, Gabby, which is gang leader. I told you that in confidence.
I thought that I hit it pretty well. I buried it in like five deep and you weren't going to, I didn't think you would pick up on it.
I think people will understand what you mean.
So if I go missing, I want this to be just everybody knows what happened and it's on video. So
I hate when people keep inviting me on their podcasts just so I can't kill them later. Like, this is all of the press I get.
But to be fair, you should have just killed one person because then we would have stopped doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we knew that this didn't work, and I'm not saying kill me.
Are you saying kill me?
Unrelated, I'm going to send a text real quick.
That looked exactly how you would order a hit. And they're dead.
They're gone.
Yay.
Okay, so we had you back on the podcast because one, you're hilarious, two, you're amazing, three, you have OCD, and four, because you're going to Edinburgh Fringe Fest. Is that the order that you say that in? Is it Fringe Fest, Edinburgh, or something?
I don't know. Who knows?
Nobody knows.
Fringe Edinburgh Festival.
Festival Fringe.
Edinburgh Festival Fringe. I heard a lot of different versions, but I say Edinburgh Fringe Festival because that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue easier. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to plug it at the end of the show as well, but can you please plug your dates, where it's happening, the time, all that jazz?
I will be performing my solo show, which is stand-up and musical comedy. I sing songs on the ukulele and I scream about mental health, being a woman in Turkey, dating men. And I will be doing a full run.
Thank you for whispering that.
In Fringe Festival. I don't want to trigger anyone. In the Fringe Festival. And from August 2nd to August 24th, I will be performing every night at Greenside at Riddles Court, which is my venue, at 8:45. And I would love it if people came to watch my show.
I would love that too. In that vein, what is the name of your show, dude?
Antidepressed.
Yes.
Yeah. There's your new theme song.
Oh, thank you, Gabby.
Oh, you're welcome. It's going to be really fun to play on the ukulele, I'm sure. Dude, can we talk about how you put this show together? Like, what was your process?
I live my life. Horrible stuff happens to me. I talk about it on stage. If people laugh, I add it to the show. like I realized all of my material since I started doing stand-up was kind of about being a woman in this very particular situation because I'm in Istanbul, Turkey. So it's like kind of Middle Eastern, kind of westernized. Some people are very particular about what they want women to be. And I am living also with a perfect little thing called OCD. So I have very cute obsessions and compulsions and trying to hide them or living according to them, not realizing I was living according to them. So all of my material kind of works together. And so I one day wrote the order in which it would make sense and took out some stuff that wouldn't make sense for antidepressed. So there I have the show.
Wow, that's great.
This is very cool, man. Oh, I had questions while you were talking, and now...
You were so entranced.
I really was. I was like, this is so cool. yes. Can we talk about some of your cute obsessions and compulsions? Because they are so cute.
So cute. Thank you for having me as so the cute. Second time to promote the cuteness of contamination. OCD. I have contamination OCD, which is like basically like you wash your hands a lot. If you touch something you think isn't safe or clean, you freak out. If a guest comes over into your house, you have to clean very rigorously after they leave. I can't tell how many times my couch has been wiped with detergent when nothing happened on it.
That is so cute.
I know, right?
So cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, so cute. Do you ever get the compulsion to clean, like, the couch, let's say, while the guest is still there and then just, like, hold it back?
Of course. I'm counting. I'm like, when are they going to leave? First, I just want to lay down and watch Bravo at all times anyway. So why do I even have a guest in my home? Second, like I'm going to have to clean. So that's also more time away from Bravo.
Right. Because it's not like you can clean your house and just listen to Bravo. The amount of visual things that you are missing.
Yeah. All the table flips, all the drink throwing.
All the prostitution whore exclamations being slung about.
I miss Bravo. Okay. When are we going to
stop? I know. You're like, so are we wrapping up so that.
Yeah. So you can watch a little bit more Housewife. Housewives.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, she watches one. She watches one Housewife.
I only watch Ramona Singer go around to be racist.
Yes.
So hard to do.
It's just a bunch of clips.
Yeah.
Of Ramona Singer,
yeah,
over and over and over again.
You just like you watch TV and then you put your hand over the screen and you plug your ears when it's not her. But then, how do you know when she comes back on? That is my question.
Yeah, that's why I have this search term Ramona worst off. So I go to YouTube for compilations.
So good.
I also watch her Instagram. That's pretty bad too.
Oh, I'd imagine so because she's still on Instagram, huh?
I guess.
Oh, no. Are you saying that she is not the housewife you watch?
She is.
Okay. So we can totally cut this, but I know contamination issue comes up in TV and movies more often than the other OCDs. So my question to you is, what do you feel they get right? And what do you feel... Or at least personally, that's not you being represented up there. Besides the fact that Tony Shalhoub does not have your gorgeous hair.
Thank you.
As Monk.
I don't know. I don't think it's as clear cut as TV makes it seem. It's not like you have one role and it's the same for every situation. Like when I'm traveling, I have way less contamination stuff, but I do more checking. And as a storytelling device, that wouldn't work unless its target audience is only me. So I think it's hard to portray OCD in television or film because, I don't know, it doesn't look like anything sometimes. Like a lot of people who are very close to me have no idea why I am sanitizing my hand, exactly what triggered it. They can be with me all day and they don't know what. Like the other day, I sanitized my hand and my friend was like, oh, it's because you shook hands with that guy, right? I was like, no, it's because I touched the side of my shoe.
Ooh, always keep them guessing.
Yeah.
That guy, for example, for some reason didn't trigger my OCD. But if I was a TV OCD contamination OCD haver, I would go around like not shaking hands. But it depends from situation to situation so much that I don't know. It's not as unruly. It's more unruly, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like constantly changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like,
or if there are rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
If there are rules, they're changing all the time.
Like I can be washing my hands a lot during the day, and you can show that on TV, and I'm like, yeah, me. But I don't know. It depends. I think OCD changes from person to person too, so it would be hard to actual person with contamination OCD. I don't know if I would see myself in them necessarily in the way it manifests. The thought pattern is very similar, and I understand it, but practices in everyday life look very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like OCD light, I guess, on TV, like with Monk. It's like it doesn't show his intrusive thought that brought him to do the compulsion.
Yeah.
On television. I know there's been shows that have done it slightly, I guess, I don't know if I could say right, but showed it a more realistic, like Work in Progress. I think Puro, I sort of remember the show where it actually shows her having the thoughts, like the hypersexualized thoughts in her head. And then her like, don't show me that, you know? And so that's like pretty close.
Yeah. Okay. We kind of ran through a type of OCD that I don't think we've talked about on the podcast, which is checking OCD. And since you brought it up, Ege, what is checking OCD?
Checking OCD is like hot little new in fashion sort of thing where like you check stuff. You check it again. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, yeah, my phone is in my pocket. Is it? Yeah, it's in my pocket. Is it though? It's in my pocket. Still it is? Is it? Is it? Okay, good. Is it though? So that's kind of I think checking OCD was gifted to me in childhood by repeatedly being asked by adults, are you sure you have your Istanbul card? It's the transport card that you use. Like, not even do you have your wallet? Check to see if you have your wallet, which would be important to remind the child, hey, do you have your wallet? But within a span of 5 minutes from leaving the house to getting on the bus, five times maybe would be a lot. And because it was like, well, yeah, I do have my Istanbul card in my wallet that allows me to get on the bus, but I don't think it had left in the last 20 seconds.
Okay.
That's how you gift it to someone if you want to. Mm-hmm. And also, like when you're a child, it's kind of free. Also, even if you missed your Istanbul card, you can get another one at the station. Just wouldn't be the end of the world. It's not like leaving your keys. It's not that complicated to leave your Istanbul card at home.
Okay, then follow-up question. So was it the same adult who would ask you multiple? Okay.
Guess who was undiagnosed?
Hey, I did the same thing when I was four on an airplane. I kept asking my mom to go to the bathroom because I thought the door to the bathroom was the door to outside where my dad was. And I wanted to check to see if he was still there. And I did it a lot. My sister was very young too. So it was like she had to drag two kids on an airplane over and over and over again. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Sorry, Mom.
I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes like you were talking about how when you are traveling, the contamination OCD kind of takes the back seat, and then another OCD shows up and is like, I got this. Mine too. And especially in times of heightened anxiety. And I don't think that it's necessarily obviously, it's not on purpose given to me by my OCD group, but being in a group with a lot of people who have a lot of different flavors, you start to pick up on stuff. And I think like my OCD is sees it like a passport. It's like, oh, let's get all the stamps, you know? And so the other night, I went to a comedy show. I brought my dog. It was nighttime, so he could just stay in the car. And anyway, oh boy, I really want to say how well I took care of him in the car. Okay. Okay. So a lot of thoughts just happened. I'm like, it's the end of the night. I go back to the car. I let the dog out to go to the bathroom. I put the dog back into the car, and I have my keys in my hand, and I say to myself, do not put the keys in the car and lock the door and shut it, right? And then part of me goes, oh, is that checking OCD? Is that checking OCD? And I get so wrapped up in whether or not that's checking OCD that I locked the keys in the car with the dog. Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is where my past therapists and I have differed. I have a hide a key on my car because I know in stressful situations something like this will happen. And they say, as an exposure, why don't you take off the hide a key? And I say, no, because it came in super handy because I didn't have to call for a tow truck or even inform anybody else. I just got on the filthy, disgusting streets of San Francisco on my knees, reached under the car, and got the key. It's fine. It's fine.
I like how you had to tell them everything instead of going, sure, and just do it anyway.
They also suggest...
I don't do that.
You shine on your therapist when they like try and make a bit of a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
You know what my favorite? Okay. Can we talk tactics with therapists for a second? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My favorite tactic is they've hit on something that I really don't want to do, like say the hide a key, right? And then I use all of my improv and acting skill. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be kind of a good idea. Yeah, I could totally do that. But I do have this question about socks. Can I ask you, if I wear the same sock all the time, is that something? And then they get distracted by the sock question. And then I'm home free. Mm-hmm. They know nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I do is...
Unfortunately,
yeah, you go ahead. Sorry.
No, unfortunately, my therapist calls me out on my shit too much. Because he has OCD as well. And so even on Monday when I had therapy, when I said sure, he goes, is that a yes or a sure? And I was like, shit.
It's a shit.
I know, he caught me.
Switch therapists. That's the other tip. Just keep them coming and then they never get to know you. What were you going to say, AK?
My two therapists that I dumped by... running away. I would go when they connect something to something that I know is unconnected, and they are both serious issues. But in this very particular situation, no, I'm getting to. Okay. So I'm in that situation, and the therapist is going, but what? And I'm like, and they're like, okay, you talk, I guess. I'm like, I'm getting to it. I know it's a problem. That's why I'm talking about it. I know I'm unwell.
Dude, I like that. You're like, I know I'm unwell. And me, I'm like, don't look too close because everything's fine.
I'm like, with the therapist, I'm like, I know I'm unwell, but not in the way you think. You don't get it. I'm unwell because of these things. You are trying to talk about this. What the fuck is that? I don't care about that.
No. Mm-hmm.
Therapist, uh-uh. Man.
And yeah. Also...
They're all crazy.
They're out to get you.
Yeah, exactly.
What a bunch of freaks.
Yeah. They want to help me. Whatever.
Whatever. If they really cared, then they wouldn't accept money.
They're essentially prostitutes.
You know what? My therapist is my bartender. He's my nail artist. We talk about real stuff.
Real stuff, yeah. He's my tattoo guy, you know? He puts me in pain, but then I get through it, you know, together.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's so exposure.
My therapist is my internalist doctor. I say, is this a thing? He goes, no, you're fine. I say, thank you.
That's always good. Especially, yeah, therapists or medical professionals who have no idea what OCD is. I mean, you can really fool those suckers. They're like, how are things? And you're like, dude, great. Great. Yeah. I'm not having 12 conversations in my head as you're having a conversation with me in which I try and gauge like my tone and mannerisms and everything so as not to arouse suspicion in any way. So we're good.
When I go to a normal doctor, I'm like, for an OCD thing that I have about my health, I'm like, okay, if it's not this, but I have this, would it be that? What would it, if this happened, then would it turn into that? If I do that, would that start? That's not a thing right now, I know, but would it? The doctors are like, yes, no, yes, maybe, I don't know. And they're like, no, you don't have this thing you're worried about. You do have this other thing you had no idea you had, but a test show. I'm like, it's fine, whatever. I didn't Google it. I didn't look it up. I don't know how terrible that is. I'm just getting it from the doctor saying like, oh, you take this medication for this many weeks and you're clear. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. No big deal. I'm cool diseases
right, but
like
can we
that.
Get back to the logic train? Yeah.
Like, I'm a cool patient. I don't care about what I have. I'm sure the medicine will take care of it. But what if I did this and this happened? And look, I did have this one thing once. 10 years ago, and would it be connected to that? Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
God, it's too real, man. For all the things that OCD is like wildly different from person to person and moment to moment, there are some commonalities that it's just like, I have that. Yep. Okay.
You have to be constantly reminded. Uh-huh. Because that's the other thing, right? Classic OCD stuff is asking whether or not you have OCD. So do I have enough OCD?
Mine, yeah. My initial one was, I'm really sorry for taking up your time because I'm probably just doing this for attention. And I'm sure I don't have OCD. And then the therapist turning and being like, your textbook. And I'm like, no.
I'm like,
I'm fine, but I've been in bed for 12 hours.
I'm like, yeah, I'm in bed, but I'm fine in bed. I like laying in bed and not doing anything in a depressed state because I'm fine. And when I go to a new therapist, I'm like, so I have been diagnosed with this, but like, I'm open to your interpretation if you say it's not. And they're like, okay, let's treat you for that.
So you need your therapist to comply to you at your whim.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also had, but like OCD therapists who like, you know, I would say something like, as I'm talking, I realize I'm trying to get your approval, you know, of the group and like make you laugh and whatever else. And then the therapist would specifically say like, well, I didn't find that funny. And I think that you're taking up a lot of people's time and, you know, like basically do an exposure in the moment without telling me that it's an exposure. But the thing is, it's like,
yeah,
exactly. Well, that's the line. That's the line. When is an OCD therapist just being a dick and when are they being helpful?
Okay. I think I know the answer. If you're doing a bit and they're heckling you, I don't think that's good.
Yeah, that they're
that's
being
not funny.
A dick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I think when a therapist does do exposure, usually they ask for consent.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yes. I hear you.
Consent is cool.
The thing is, like, I knew it immediately as soon as he started, because it was so out of character. He's like the kindest, most compassionate person. So for him to all of a sudden be like, you know, you're really taking a lot of time away from other people who actually need it more than you, or whatever he was saying. And I just started like smiling like an idiot and laughing. And I was like, I can't take this seriously, because I know that I appreciate what you're doing, but I see it. So
maybe he was trying to trick your ADHD. So you can't really plan for the attack of exposure. I don't know. I think I'm giving him too much sway. I think he was being a dick. That's my vote.
Me too. Okay. Yeah. You lost me at my therapist.
Listen, I'm not a bootstraps girl like you. I'm not just out here independently treating myself, making it work, looking amazing, putting on a one-woman show, heading to Scotland. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oof, I need to start therapy again. Oof, it's so hard to find a new therapist. It takes... And then you invest your time in someone and you start like actually making progress, and then something fundamentally terrible they reveal about their worldview, and you're like, I can't let this person treat me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's...
Well, and you have had the fill of bad therapists, by the way. I mean, after our last talk, I was like, holy crap.
Okay, talking about it, I do, if I was hearing another person say this, I would be like, oh, okay, they're probably just like saying that because they probably think that, but they're probably blaming the therapist and running away from therapy. Huh? Stupid. I know better. But it's truly fucked up shit that was done by some therapists. Did I tell you about the one that suggested that all disorders were just from being immoral?
I love that. That's the old religious
like so I just wanted to confirm with you, even though I don't want to do reassurance, but I just want to say I did not hear that at all in terms of you saying that you had bad therapy experiences as being a cop-out, if that's what you meant, because I don't think it was at all. I think you had bad experiences and haven't found a person that's really able to give you the care that you need, other than giving you some random bullshit.
Thank you, but you're a better person than me, because when I heard myself saying, whenever you go to a therapist, you invest your time, and right when you're starting to make progress, you have to leave them. It did sound a little bit like that. But no, the second time I had to leave a therapist, I still am not able to talk about it. But when I talk about it, it's going to be on this podcast, I hope, if I'm invited back. And I'm ready to tell you what that woman did to me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Just give me a name. I'll take care of it. Yeah. You'll never hear from her
I didn't think about this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I need my phone too.
We're all gonna put out a hit. The thing is, I used to hate this saying that people told me about dating, like they're all wrong except for the one, right? But it's kind of like that with therapists too. It's like they're all wrong. Well, I get there's a lot out there that are good, but I just want to say, man, I've had some great, even OCD therapists that were great. But then she went on sabbatical after 6 months, right? And then I had to try a new one. She fucking sucked. And then I finally found a good one through NoCD. And I honestly had like two and a half years of like great work, doing awesome, fantastic. And then NoCD was like, we don't accept your insurance anymore. And it's like, cool. So I hear ya. But also sometimes therapists are really shitty people. Like when you were talking about the morality one, I was like, oh, that's fun when your therapist has religious scrupulosity, which is a form of OCD, and it's apparently undiagnosed and they don't realize it, and they're just putting their own OCD onto you, much like an adult did when asking if you have your Istanbul card.
I did. I always did. And today...
But did you check?
I did. Oh, no, I want to check if I have it. But then I will have to wash my hands because it's dirty. When I'm walking to the subway and I need my Istanbul card, sometimes I take out my keys. And when I'm coming home and I need my keys, sometimes I take out my Istanbul card because it's just like no thought behind it. It's just the two things I had to check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One, two, one, two, one, two. Yeah. So fun. OCD is just fun. Can you imagine like what you would do with all the energy that you wouldn't have to expend if you didn't have OCD? Like sometimes I think I could run countries, you know?
I would probably watch more Bravo.
Well, see, at least you're doing something productive with your time. Oh, I was going to say too, like the whole being depressed but stuck in the bed and you're like, everything's fine as long as I don't move, I don't breathe too deeply and whatever. It's like being injured but not wanting to like do anything about it. And you're like, yeah, man, as long as I just hold very, very still and keep it in this weird 90 degree angle, we're good. So please continue with your day because I'm fine. And then you realize that it is painful to leave the house and to talk to people on the phone or in person or get in a car to go anywhere, even with your loved ones. And you're like, maybe something should change, you know? Mm. All been there.
Yeah.
That just brought down the energy in the room so hard.
I want a blanket right now.
Get a clean one.
You're referring to the gray mattress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For the listener, I encountered a gray mattress. It was supposed to be white. It wasn't supposed to be the color gray. And I realized this after I slept on the mattress and I tried to change the sheets and turns out there are no other sheets to change. But I saw the mattress and it was very gray and so many stains of unknown origin. I'm hoping blood. I don't want, that would be the best case scenario, I think. And and I survived. I did it. I didn't like burn my back washing. Even when I learned that the mattress came with the apartment, I was
God, I forgot about that.
I blocked that out.
Even when I learned that the pillows came with the apartment too.
Oh God.
Oh no.
I know.
No.
But I survived. I'm here. It happened to me. Like, and I'm stronger. Like, it was exposure therapy by accident. Like, yeah, bring that therapist over, Gabby. I can take on anything. I've been threatened by a disgusting mattress. I can be heckled by a therapist.
I'm going to side with Heather on this one. The pillows are worse.
I know.
And as somebody who doesn't explicitly have contamination, I am so impressed with you, dude.
Yeah.
How? Like that gave me full body like chills, like goose pimples, all the hair standing on end.
I'm just taking that all in. Because now it's making me think about hotels. Right?
Yeah. I see, that's why I'm more comfortable when traveling because I don't see the mattress. I don't see how stained it is. I don't see, I don't have to think about that. I'm just like staying still. I know it's the hotel, but it's probably terrible. But as I know, I'm never going to be like in a completely, perfectly clean, safe place. Mm-hmm. As I'm traveling all day, my OCD contamination thing is like less because I don't have anywhere clean to go to anyway.
There's no safe
harbor.
Like
when I'm taking a shower,
you may as well enjoy it.
I'm taking a shower in a hotel bath. I don't know how they cleaned it.
Spit in a rag, you know? Just.
Yeah. Yep.
Rub.
Oh.
I'm going to stay in a dorm room in Edinburgh and share a bathroom.
Oh, that's right, dude. Oh, okay. What are your thoughts, feelings? What's going on?
I don't know what to do.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh. So you have your own private room, right? But the bathroom you have to share.
I know. With how many people? I don't know.
Oh, no.
It's going to be a long 3 weeks. Please come to my show. It will be fun.
and heckle about like, hey, Ege, how's the toilet situation at your dorm room going?
I'm sharing a bathroom with strangers for this. If people don't show up, it's going to be a tragedy. Like,
mm-hmm. like the Titanic.
Yeah.
I would say bigger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they have lifeboats.
Yeah.
I won't have.
For some of them.
Yeah, but those
they had floating doors and stuff. Yeah.
I won't have like the exactly. rolling nylon thing over the seats probably.
Yeah. I would say probably like all the world wars combined might get close to the level of tragedy.
Yeah.
But probably not.
Yeah, but that's not cool. So. Some of them were bad.
No. Some of them. Okay, please, let's go through which parts were bad.
Okay. Look, I don't love war. I don't want to get political here, but wars are bad. Like, I get triggered when people say I'm a social justice warrior because I hate war.
I'm against all forms of violence, including violent self-compassion, which is...
Mm-hmm.
Should be a thing. Mm-hmm. I think we should start something. Violent self-compassion. I love you.
I love you, you fucking bitch.
I love myself so goddamn much.
You get cute aggression against child. Yourself.
Oh, yeah. This is good. I think there needs to be new forms of OCD. You know what I mean? Like, let's branch out. Let's make some money. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about them now?
That's other types of OCD that haven't been discovered yet?
Ooh, what about...
Actually, I was really... Yeah.
Trying to find other types of OCD.
But I feel like you could do that with pretty much everything. What about trying to find other forms of OCD?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's why we improvise. Yes, and...
Yes, and let me just repeat verbatim exactly what you said.
Heighten.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Heighten or go horizontal, take a nap, get depressed, put them blankets on again, you know? Calm down. Take it sleazy.
Well, my psychiatrist again reminded me as soon as I asked the question if it's OCD, it is.
Yep. I love OCD. Those ones. I love those little like it's hooks. Like, you're like, oh.
Yep.
All right.
Because to me, it's like I have this whole thing working out, you know, going, it's maybe this and then that. And then this happened and then whatever. And he's like, yeah, you said it the first time. Is it OCD? It is. It's like, then it's done.
Like, you're like, no, no.
Questions.
I have a whole PowerPoint presentation. I've got charts. I got maps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I brought beverages.
I'm good at those.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they cut you off at the pass and you're like, no, I had a whole bit. I had a whole thing I was going to do.
I know. I planned it. Uh-huh. I practiced.
Uh-huh. I was expecting you, the therapist, to stand up at the end and just slow clap in amazement.
You solved OCD.
Yeah, exactly. You have thought your way out of a thinking problem, my friend, and that is
it's going to happen someday possible. And we will celebrate.
Yeah, it will. It totally will.
One of us one day we'll is going to do really that, achieve time. That, think their way out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It might mm-hmm. be any one of us.
I feel it could be. My immediate thought when you said that was like, oh, I'll figure it out. And then that'll be my last breath. I won't be able to tell anybody about how I did it. All you have to do is. Yeah. All right. Do you have other flavors of OCD? We got checking, contamination. Do you only have OCDs that start with C in English? Mm. Oh, I don't know about Turkish. Ooh, bias, bias.
Yeah, it's not, they don't start. I don't know what else I have. I didn't talk about the checking thing, the previous recording. I didn't even think of it as OCD.
Now you have to check to see.
If you have
yeah, other OCDs.
I will check and I will get back to you. I have compulsive behaviors, but I don't know what's OCD and what's not. I'm not a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet, are we not just as qualified?
Yes.
No, we're not. We're not.
I am.
Compared to the therapist that you've been seeing, 1,000%. Yes, I will sign off on that right now. Yeah. Print up your certificate, put it on the wall. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, non-therapist, therapize thyself. I know. Yes. I was going to ask you way, way back, because you were talking about masking your OCD around other people. Mm-hmm. What's that like for you? How's that go? What's the inner thought process? What's up?
It's bad. Yeah, I mean,
Well, and that's all the time we have. You. No, I'm sorry. That was...
I don't know what to... I don't know. It's bad.
Okay, let me ask more questions then. Is it hard for you to stay in the moment around people if, like, the obsessive or compulsive thoughts are...
I have to do the compulsion to get back into it because then I'm in my head and I'm, like... I don't know, but with some people it's easier. I don't hide it. They don't know the thought patterns behind it. They just know that I have OCD. And like some things I do just non-compulsively, they think it's OCD, which is really cute. I was like, oh no, that's just being a person.
It's just my quirky self.
Yeah. And others are OCD. And I don't know. Some people I don't have to hide a lot, which is easier. But if I'm outside with a group of people, then I have to take care of the compulsion and get back into the social mindset. That's why it's hard to be with people all day because you're like always navigating so much stuff. Yeah. My social battery runs really low, really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so real.
That is real.
Yeah. That's, yeah, again, the amount of energy we would have if we didn't have to, like, yeah, just the masking, just that. What are your compulsive behaviors, like, around other people? Is it mostly hand sanitizer or is it... I'm just trying to find somebody else who touches things in threes. And I swear I'm going to find somebody. No, not me. Threes, it's sevens.
No.
Okay, cool.
Another a friend gifted another thing to me. They said, when someone touches me, when someone I don't like their energy. When someone touches me, I touch them right back to give the energy back.
Wow.
And I haven't started it, but it makes so much sense to me.
Yes, totally, totally. God, I fucking hate that. Oh.
Yeah, and to all the listeners, I am gifting this to you.
Yes, yes.
This is like a...
There's going to be...
This is like a... What's the horror movie where you like, the more you have it... Ring, I don't know. The tape, I don't know. I don't know movies. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I don't either. I can't watch horror movies it's already...
You send
already...
it to someone and they die in 7 days. Uh-huh. So you...
Does it save you if you send it to somebody else?
Yes.
Or it's just like you have to do it and you're going to die anyway?
I think so. And this is a version where we don't get rid of it, but we just add more.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, literal contamination is what we're spreading. It's a contamination of minds into OCD. But I just am now thinking of all these unsuspecting, awful people in the world who are just like, you know, put their hand on your shoulder in just an unpleasant manner and are just like, yeah, I'm going to need you to like move 3 feet to the left. And like, can you not do that so much? And then just, you know, turn around, tap them real quick once they remove the hand. And just like an army of people just, you know, we're all just touching people back. Yeah, exactly. Does it have to be a quick tap back? I'm asking for a friend. Okay.
Yeah, it has to be. Like, they touch you, right back. You don't take the energy.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's like discharging. Like, if you have too much static electricity, you just touch some metal three times. It's fine. It's not a thing. It's going to be... Oh, no. That's fine. That's fine. I was like, how am I supposed to touch people like over the Zoom? And then I'm like, Gabby, they haven't touched you. So you don't need to touch them back. Yes.
You're going to try to solve that issue.
Uh-huh. And I
how
did.
How do I touch people?
Yeah, exactly.
Gabby, if it makes you feel better, I do feel touched by you.
Good. Hold on. I got to make a... It's done. It's done. Honestly, though. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, please.
It was something different.
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, though, in aqua aerobics... there is a new person and I want to announce at the beginning of every aqua aerobics class and be like, the rule is you stay in your freaking place and you do your exercise. Nobody's just out here at a regular aerobics class, just like getting all up in somebody else's personal space. Find it, stick it, stay, work out, all the things. But this woman floating freaking everywhere. And then I find out she's just got her aqua aerobics instructor's license. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a nightmare. But anyway, so during one exercise, her hand barely grazed mine. And I had to fight everything in my body not to physically punch her. It was an overwhelming feeling. And I am not a violent person, but I just was like, I'd had it. Okay. So anyway...
I'm on your side if you punch her.
Cool. But yeah. But that was the question. Like, is the punch back, is that discharging the energy back? You know what I'm saying? Like, she touched me, and now my touch back is just a real quick, like, so fast. Look,
if you want to assault elderly people at aquaerobics, it's up to you.
Yeah. It's between me and the almighties that I don't believe in. So we're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. Elder abuse is so fun when it's in water.
I think aquaerobics is the problem here, because if you exercise with maybe younger people, they would be able to stay in their flight.
I know, but this woman was relatively younger. Like, I'm like putting her at like a late 50s.
80, okay.
Seriously. One of the women suggested a comedy show and I was like, okay, cool. So I brought my like slightly younger friend to go with me and we get there and she's like, everybody here has white hair. And I'm like, oh, right. If you recommended a show by a 70 plus year old, then the audience is going to be, yeah.
I did a show like that.
It's your scene.
Did you really?
Like 60 plus audience. And I was like, hi, all CD and stuff. So you really, I'm going to play it now. Can you hear it?
Oh, I hope that you asked multiple times during the set. Can you hear this? Does everybody turn them on? Turn on the hearing aids. Mm-hmm. I do want to kick that woman. The rage that I felt. And it like barely grazed the hand. It was mostly the pushing of water that I felt more than anything. And yet, blood
but
in the water.
But then if you do it underwater, nobody would see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If an elderly woman next to me cries out in pain, and I'm literally the closest person to her because she will not give me personal space. And then I just point at the 91-year-old behind me and go, he did it.
Well, he deserves it.
I know he does.
I know about him.
Yeah. So I, real quick for everybody, I have a buddy in aqua aerobics who's 91 years old who asks me questions about physics and astronomy. And it's great. We chat and it's so much fun. Tells me about his life, blah, blah, blah. But then the other day I turned around and I said, hey, man, you know, please let me know if I'm getting too much in your space. Because again, we had new people in the class and they were just all over the place, just crowding. And he says, oh, I think I'd actually really enjoy it if you were in my lap. Blech. Yeah. Bro, we talk about your wife all the time. You're 91 years old. I thought we were buddies. Gross.
But like, is he hot?
Yeah.
For a 91-year-old.
I mean, he's hot for an 88-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, he could get it. You can get it. You know what I should have said was, I would really feel more comfortable if you were in my lap. No, that would have gone poorly. Damn it. Why is it that you can't, as a woman, harass in the exact same language back?
Yes, you can't harass back.
No. Because if it feels like harassment to the man, then he's not the type of man who would have harassed you in the first place. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he gets it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, boundaries, please.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, eyes up here, ladies.
Yeah.
I know. Well, so now there's two elderly people in the pool I need to kick. And now I'm fighting in the pool again.
Yeah, we've talked about that, Gabby.
And I still say, if it's justified, if they started it, it doesn't matter if they're over 65, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to just do a hit on a 91-year-old real quick, AA, I don't think anyone would notice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but by the time my hit arrives.
Oh, you think nature has taken its course? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Or, I mean, shit, maybe he runs for president. He's more spry than...
Yeah, he can do aerobics. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my God. Oh, everything's cool. It's all going to be great.
Sure.
It's 107 degrees today, and I fucking hate it. Yeah. But climate change is a hoax, so.
Wow. What a way to... and the podcast.
We're trying to get that Joe Rogan audience. You know what I mean?
So okay, sorry.
We're just going to say a lot of, yeah. Sorry, okay. If you have any sort of truthy, controversial statements that other people are just like afraid to say, now's the time.
Yeah. I do. Mm-hmm. I have controversial beliefs. I think Chapel Roan is an industry plant.
Ooh, shots fired, bro.
Wow.
I kind of think she sounds like she went to a lot of summer camp. And I think her songs are super catchy, but maybe I just haven't heard the one yet.
That's what they want you to think.
Mm. Mm. That she's built by AI.
I think they want us to think she's not built by AI.
Mm. Or she's a more advanced
AI.
They're
confusing us, man. You see what they're doing right now?
They're pitting us against each other. It's like, you think she's AI. I think she's a robot. You think she's a Republican plant. She's literally a fern that votes Republican. She's a Republican plant. I'll be here all the week.
Oh, there we go.
The plant? Yep. Oh, Chapel. Yeah.
At least it's green.
Apparently,
she old enough?
I don't know. How old is she? Nobody Google it. Let's just speculate wildly. I'm guessing 91.
Ooh, that was my number.
Mm.
That was my number.
That's why we're co-hosts.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It is the end of the podcast. Congratulations. Yay. Ege, will you please say one more time all the things?
Yes. I will be in Edinburgh, Scotland for the Fringe Festival all summer, all of August. I have shows at Greenside at Riddles Court, August 2nd to 10, 12 to 17, 19 to 24, every night at 8:45. Anti-depressed stand-up musical comedy. If you're there, please come.
Yeah, please do. Yay.
Yay.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dude, absolute pleasure. Yeah. Thank you for putting up with the time difference and waking up early and getting on here with us.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure.
And all the technical things that had to be done.
Oh, wait, I wasn't recording.
Oh.
Do we start over?
That is a...
Third time's the charm.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and watch Gabby melt further into her seat. Mm-hmm.
I would put Bunny in my place. I would be like, can't do it. That was a good callback. Yeah, to part of the podcast that nobody's going to hear because
it's for you. I don't care about the listener. No, please come. I do care.
Exactly.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah. Go see AG at the Fringe Fest. And if not at the Fringe Fest, then go to Istanbul and go to one of her many shows. The dating show, which sounds like it's going gangbusters. Mm-hmm. The fact that men don't know the difference between a vulva and a vagina is so, I don't know if it's anger, sad. I think it's like depression bed again. That's just what's, yeah.
I think this was on the first recording too, no?
Yeah, it was.
It was.
I do a dating show. Men don't know what's the difference between a vagina and a vulva. And when I ask how often do they change their sheets, they say, you have to change? So this is the kind of men available at Mingle Mania last Sunday of every month at Aydak, Kadıköy, Istanbul. If you want to find a match, I ask the right questions.
Yeah, you do.
You do. You do.
I mean, honestly, it's like, did you guys ever watch that show Singled Out with Chris Hardwick and Jenny McCarthy? Anyway, late 90s, early, doesn't matter, dating myself. So it was like a shit ton of like dudes and one lady or vice versa. And they would ask a question and then the dudes would like take a step forward if their answer was like affirmative or whatever. And I just feel every dude would be eliminated just as soon as you asked either of those questions. And they would be like, okay, reset.
Yeah.
There was a
because you can find your love on TV, right?
I think all
there's
of those
been plenty of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Love is Blind is an excellent example. Hello. We're done.
That's great. Well, thank you, Ege, for being
thank
on the
you,
show.
Goodbye.
Yeah, thank you, Ege.
You're always amazing.
Thank you so much for having
me. Yeah, come back anytime.
Anytime you want, I will come back. Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry. Ha. Huh.
No, I'm sorry.
You did it all.
Yeah. Heather, do you want to use up your sorries for the episode or you want to bang?
Sorry. I'm a rebel. I'm doing all of them. All of them for the whole world.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It's for every woman. The fact that a man doesn't know the difference between a vulva and a vagina, but we have to apologize for just taking up any space, is where I want to leave our listeners. I love you all. I love you. Thank you. Thank you, Ege. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Gabby.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the end of the show. This is Gabby Blackman.
And this is Heather Nye.
Thank you for listening to Comically Exposed. We're just a little show with two creators who edit and produce each episode. We appreciate all your support.
If you like what you heard, please follow us on Instagram at comicallyexp.podcast. That's comicallyexp.podcast.
Oh, and check out our website at comicallyexposed.com. That's one word, comicallyexposed.com.
Where you can contact us by text or even leave a voice message.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes drop every other Wednesday.
Also, special thanks to Track Club and Goldenfinch for providing the music.
Thanks for listening. And hey, everybody, today is a great day to expose yourself. Okay, until next time.
In your face, Miriam.